Hey, everybody. My name's Dane.
And I'm Jimmy.
And our podcast is called Bubbling Questions.
We do would-you-rathers from listeners and a Twitter bot.
Along with one-person game shows using ridiculous stuff we find on the internet.
Like, what kind of dick are we talking?
I shall not tell you.
Okay. All from our very real hot tub.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Very real. Not a gimmick at all. Find Bubbling Questions wherever you get podcasts.
And I'm Jimmy.
Hello, and welcome to the Escapist Comics podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
And I'm Robert Negowesco.
And today is June 30th, 2022. And it's been a horrible week for everyone. Mostly lots of women. But we're here to escape into comics.
Yeah, escape from that.
Escape from all of that and into the world of fantasy.
Yeah, we'll read comics about this in a month or so, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's when they'll start coming out. Mm-hmm. The response comics. Yeah. And then you can't escape.
No. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Like on Instagram, like everyone's just been posting. I mean, it's doom scrolling time, right? Where everyone just sits there and.
Oh, sure. I have not heard that phrase, but that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Just nonstop. I had to get away from that for a while because that's all I did for the first 2 days. And if you've been living under a black hole, obviously we're talking about the new Roe versus Wade being just shut down completely. And now, yeah, that's but we're not, we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about comics.
Pivoting.
Yeah. That's all I did. That's all I thought about for the last week. So
it's pretty bad.
But it's pretty bad. Yeah.
These aren't.
Yeah. We actually read some really good comics this week. The first one we're going to talk about is a friend of the store, Daniel Warren Johnson. And he wrote and drew and created this amazing comic. And then Mike Spicer, who I think does all the colors for his comics.
Oh, okay.
They
definitely work well together.
Yeah, they do. I know he definitely did. Murder Falcon
and the lettering, I mean, I will bring that up because I actually, the lettering did look very like unique to me. I mean, it's all legible and stuff, so Russ Wooten.
Oh yeah, Russ Wooten. I think did he might have done Murder Falcon as well. It looks similar. Don't quote me on that. We'll definitely look that up to confirm that. But yeah, it definitely is super super stylized. Oops, sorry. That's my ESPN iPod or iPod. iPods still exist, right?
No. It's 2022. No. Mine's right here.
They don't even your old iPod.
I have a video iPod.
Oh, nice.
It's still
don't ever get rid of it.
No.
In 30 years, it'll probably be worth like $5,000.
Oh, I've been thinking about buying more.
Hell yeah, stock up on that.
What's gonna happen? You could just stick a million songs on there,
right? Or like I wish I still had my clamshell iMac. Like I used to have, like those are worth so much money now. It's crazy.
Oh yeah, if you have even the big ones.
Oh yeah,
the big iMacs. I bet one of those might be worth a few bucks if it's not filled with viruses by now.
Right. Macs don't get viruses, don't you know?
Yeah, even from 1999.
No way. They're impenetrable. Maybe. Speaking of impenetrable, we're talking about wrestling here and do a powerbomb.
Yeah, which is something that I think keeps a lot of people away. And I mean, I know I'm jumping ahead, but he does have like a little outro at the end. And he talks about how he thinks comics are a very inviting medium, which I agree. Mm-hmm. And he's used comics to, with Murder Falcon, bring metal to people.
Right.
Which I think was pretty effective. And with this, it's something else. And metal and wrestling, pretty.
They're nothing alike,
but they have very similar, you know, energies, right?
Oh, it's, yeah. definitely.
Big, colorful, insane characters doing insane things or singing about insane things, you know.
Right. And there's been like a new renaissance of wrestling, you know, absolutely. Like obviously the 80s and then the 90s or the late 90s and now today again. And especially with like with AEW, they're like bringing back like that, the new like crazy characters and stuff that's not in like the mainstream wrestling, though it has become a little bit more mainstream.
It's definitely on the up, and yeah, I mean comics definitely. Too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've been subjected to it because Mark, my husband, loves wrestling now, so I have to watch some of it. Just not my favorite, but there's been some fun characters that I like, and also that they're really inclusive actually now. Sure. With wrestling, which I never thought was a thing. And there's like trans wrestlers in AEW.
Yeah.
And non-binary wrestlers, and I was like, well, that's actually really cool. So like I watch those matches because I just find that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I've
always thought the promos were some of like that's high art to me. Like some of those promos from like especially the 80s and stuff are just pure madness. I never really watched like the wrestling, but the personalities of these guys just being like so insane. Randy Macho Man Savage, him and Hulk Hogan, they like, they want to shake hands, but the power's too much. Their hands won't even touch.
They're shaking. Yeah.
Cream of the crop, Mean Gene, cream of the crop. Like that's some of the most hilarious, like amazing energy filled, like thespians in the like you'll ever see, you know.
Oh yeah. And then like crime stories like revolving around wrestling too are absolutely insane, like the backyard fights and drugs and money. I mean all of it is just absolutely bonkers.
See Tales from the Dark Side or
exactly.
Is that what it's called? Tales from
Dark
Side of the Ring.
Dark Side of the Ring, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boom. Yeah, that's a great show.
It is. Absolutely. I learned way too much about Macho Man. Oh no, Ric Flair. I'm sorry, Ric Flair. He's like a terrible person.
Well, he's still fun to watch, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Woo! Don't ever go to a sporting event and ever again. You just have to hear those woos so much. It's terrible. Anyways,
let's get into Do a Powerbomb.
Yeah, Do a Powerbomb. So basically, and this is like a very touching comic, like you don't think it's going to be, but that's kind of like how Murder Falcon was too.
That's
really heartfelt story.
That's DWJ's that's his thing.
That's like, his jam. Yeah,
you can rope in the casual person with big bombastic explosive action and fire, monsters, explosions, whatever it may be, and then at its core have a deep emotional character driven story full of heart.
Right.
Like this one made, I mean, I cried when I read Murder Falcon. Everyone at the shop that I worked at cried. Yeah. And then we were all just selling the hell out of that book because it would just be like Murder Falcon. And someone would be like, oh my God, so good. Like I cried.
Yep.
And this I felt the pangs.
Oh yeah.
I'm not there yet, but there's more issues to go.
Absolutely. And it starts like, you don't know where it's going to go to. You're like, oh, it's just going to be like a crazy wrestling comic. But yeah, you get this amazing character. It's Yua Steel Rose.
Yeah.
That's her wrestling name. And it starts off with a fight. She's fighting Cobra Sun. And I think it's cool too, because it's like a gender, like it's a woman fighting a guy too, which you don't get very often in wrestling, unless it was like China back in the day. Yeah. China was so badass.
She was super badass.
Yeah.
With a Y, people, with a Y for you youngins.
Yep.
but yeah, she has a daughter and her husband, and I like the guy Uncle Blood. Yeah, all of this is like, I have heard some, you know, stories from a Nick who used to work at the shop, if anyone remembers, and his dad was like a wrestling promoter. Uh-huh. And the stories of just like the behind the scenes and the really scary figures going around and doing it, Uncle Blood fits right into that world.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. she's having like her big match. It's for her belt too, right? Just like
it's a title match.
It's a title match, right? And she, her son, or sorry, her daughter's there.
Kick right? his ass, mom.
Yep. And her husband, and they're both are also proud of her. And of course, wrestling is fake, quote unquote, right? So
staged, like, right?
Staged. Yeah. It's all set up. So we know she's supposed to win the match. It's supposed to be a big fight, but yeah, she's supposed to win.
Yeah. Cobra Son is the heel. He right. is playing up the heel thing. He's like, you've forgotten what it means to be a wrestler. It's about power. It's a, like, he sounds like a classic heel. And she like goes out there and like, you know, gets what Uncle Blood cries, right? Because mm-hmm. she's just like, you are my fuel. You are my power. Like, you know, gives like a very just like rousing, you know, speech. You know, right, gets everyone course. Excited.
The get everyone arms on going. The- yep.
Yeah.
And they're throwing around the ring. The action scenes are great. And her kid is very worried. He's like, you know, worried she's going to get hurt. But the father reassures her. And then something goes like horribly wrong.
Yes.
And she falls on her neck, breaks her neck, it looks like. And it turns out that it kills her, right?
Yeah, and then we jump ahead.
Yeah.
And really, so because we don't know, right? We don't know who it is, and we still are following a Steel Rose, but this is 10 years later now, mm-hmm. and the kid is trying to wrestle. She's taken her mom's last name of Steel Rose, or her stage name. Yeah. But I know we like spoiled that for people, but there's still so much more to go. And that's the first, what, 10 pages or something.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a cool thing too. Like in the beginning, I thought it was going to be about the mother, right? And he does like a really good bait and switch where, yeah, you think it's going to be about the mom, and then it's about the daughter. And yeah, it was a really good, like, just unexpected turn, and sad too.
Yes, very sad. I'm just going to like double down on it. The ink slinging in this comic is like insane, right? Oh, yeah. Like Daniel Warren Johnson has some of the most energetic ink lines in the entire history of comics, you know? So if you like action or whatever, like every single panel is like crackling with action or life or something, you know?
Oh yeah. And the sound effects got some magic too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Which he mm-hmm. he does himself in the art. It's definitely an organic part of the art.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
It really should be. It's not always, but it really should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know how much we want to explain, but it kind of gets into some supernatural stuff at the end where you don't and know like that it's happening.
No, and we see a little bit of that in the beginning, and it's like this like shadowy character watching the mother's match.
Yeah.
And you just see it for like a panel, I think. And then it kind of just like goes away in the background. And after all of the emotion that we see, you kind of forget about it almost, right?
Like, yeah, even though you saw right when she died, like an evil grin.
Yeah.
But I felt like, yeah, like a pit or something in the pit of my stomach. I'm like, oh man. Like,
yeah.
And for him to be able to do that, that's like Up or something, you know,
first
like beginning of the movie. And you're like, oh, uh-huh. What the heck, man?
Right. Yeah. It's so effective. And you get so wrapped up in the story that you're like, oh, and it just ends up in like the back of your mind. Right. And you like totally just get lost in the story. And then when you get back to that part where he like reveals the fantasy aspect of it, and you're like, oh shit, that was there. It was a good, really good foreshadow.
Yeah. No. Cause it could have been anybody. It could have been like, oh, this guy set this up. He's just a guy, but
mm-hmm.
I won't tell you what he is, but he is a guy. He's not a guy, normal guy.
not a normal guy at all. And it's a great cliffhanger. It definitely makes you want to read the next issue.
Oh, it's on my pull list.
No, definitely.
And then, I just wanted to touch on he has a little write-up in the back, mm-hmm. and he talks about, when I read it, I was like, oh, this guy's been a lifelong wrestling fan, but not true. He mm-hmm. missed that stuff, and he got into it in the summer of 2018. He was, like, watching TV, and he watched New Japan Pro Wrestling is what it's called. and during the G1 climax. And I actually went to my first and only wrestling match thus far was the it was the G1 special. Yeah, the G1 special in San Francisco on July 7th, 2018. So I actually went to the show that like kicked off this whole that month of wrestling that he was watching. And I mean, I had a pretty similar experience to him. I didn't go out and start working on my wrestling comic, but like, I mean, it was mind blowing stuff. I'd never seen it live. Plus the Japan performers are way crazy. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I watch, he talks about like watching a guy jump 15 feet off. Like I watched a guy on a ladder, jump off a ladder that's on the stage, jump off the ladder that's on the stage, off the stage and smash through a table, like through a table with a guy on top of it.
Oh, Jesus.
Like just, and it's like your palms are sweating because it's right there. They're doing right. It right there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's nuts. I watched during the match for the junior heavyweight title, this guy Takahashi received a dragon driver from Dragon Lee and landed on his neck. These dudes were flipping each other like a million times. Ugh. He broke his neck.
Oh my
like
God.
After the match, they figured out that he won the match, kept wrestling. And I mean, they flipped, you know, the like where they grab you around the torso and they flip you over their back and like smash you kind of on the back of your upper back.
Right.
And they did that like so many times. And I was
his
like,
neck was broken.
Yeah.
During the match.
At oh some my. Point.
It, Holy shit.
Yeah. He went backstage after the match, fainted. And then they found out his neck had been broken.
Jesus Christ.
So it is fake. All of that was staged, but it's like.
Yeah, but they get seriously hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, it's fake to a degree, obviously. But yeah, when they're doing stunts like that, I mean, anything can go wrong.
Yeah. Stuntmen get hurt making films, right?
Right. So, of course. Yeah.
I just thought that was cool that
I
started watching that wrestling. And it is very cool, the New Japan Pro Wrestling. I do recommend that to people because it does have, it is extremely progressive. There was a guy who wrestled in a schoolgirl outfit, you know, just a giant man. I think that's his thing too. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. And yeah, they play around with like sizes and stuff like that in a way that I don't think new wrestling does, where it's like a tiny guy will fight a giant guy and you're like, whoa,
yeah.
Of course I want to see that, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. Super fun.
Yeah. And it's definitely cool that, wrestling is taking a turn for the better for, I don't know about WWE. I was going to say WWF. It's not called that. WWE. It was called that when I was a kid.
Think of the pandas.
Think of the pandas.
They deserve the F.
All
they,
right.
They so, get the WWF.
You're right.
Well, yeah, that was Do a Powerbomb.
Yeah, Do a Powerbomb. Number one, Image Comics. Definitely check it out.
And it's a miniseries. Seven issues, I think, is the plan. So
really, seven? That's a weird number.
I don't know. That's how maybe planned for six. And then he was like, nope.
Needs one more.
That'll be a good a trade paperback, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right. Next up from Marvel this week, we have The Variants. And
The Variants.
Welcome back, Gail Simone, to the comics world. Not that she needs any introduction, obviously. But last time Gail Simone wrote a series was back in 2019. So it's been a while. Yeah. And that was the Plastic Man series for DC.
I didn't even know that. I got to check that out. I love Plastic Man.
Yeah. It was actually really fun. But yeah, she took a little break. I know she was like helping out on some of the movies and stuff. And
for sure.
Yeah. So like she was literally on the Birds of Prey set. Yeah.
That's like one of the only ones I haven't seen. I gotta watch it.
That was good. That was fun.
It looks fun.
But
yeah, this so, is yeah. Jessica Jones. It says it on the cover, a Jessica Jones mystery.
Yeah, and art by Phil Noto. And he does pretty much, he does all his colors and everything too. Lettered by Corey Petit.
Yeah, then the art's great too. I mean, Phil Noto. Yeah.
Definitely.
Obviously great. There's some cool effects and stuff, some cool layouts. Actually, I actually like the lipstick two-page splash quite a bit.
So good. And like it's the Phil Noto. He loves drawing heads. So
yeah. But I mean, yeah, all the expressions and stuff. It's cool.
Yeah. Like, so the basic premise of this is, you know, they're trying to combine the MCU world constantly with the comics world, right?
Of course. Making tenuous, strange connections that are like, is this the same person? Is this not? Right.
So yeah, as soon as Daredevil. As soon as you hear variants, you're like, oh, Loki, right? It's gonna have something to do with that world. And you know, I kind of appreciate this because we want those people that are watching the shows to read the comics.
Right? Yeah.
We want them to hear about this and we want them to come in and be like, hey, we heard that there is a comic that has something to do with the Loki show or whatever. I mean, we had a customer the other day come in that said, you know, his daughter was a huge Loki fan and, you know, do you have any comics that pertain to that show? We do not, because they're all out of print, which really sucks. But maybe there's this, you know, maybe they'll like this instead. But yeah, so they're trying, I guess, to do that.
Yeah, and this is touching on the show, right? The Defenders show.
Right.
Netflix. And
just announced the other day, Jessica Jones will be returning to the Daredevil show.
There's the new Daredevil show.
The new Daredevil show that's going to be on Disney Plus.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, there you go. News. Oh. New Daredevil show. Well,
so he'll get
be,
a show and then show. Maybe a movie. Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. But yeah, he'll first return in She-Hulk and then, then he'll get his own show. And then, yeah, she's been reported to be coming back onto Daredevil first. And then maybe she'll get her own show. So many shows.
Yes. Everybody getting a show.
Everyone's getting a show. You get a show.
Willie Lumpkin show. His route must be nuts. All right. He delivers crazy mail to everybody.
Yeah. So yeah, I am really excited for, I mean, I love Jessica Jones and I am excited that she gets her own little mystery book because this is right up my alley. And yeah, so it starts off, she's having some headaches. She's walking around town. She needs a lipstick.
Is she going to a wedding, right?
She says, I'm getting married. So we're not really sure what time period this is because her and Luke Cage should already be married.
Yeah. And they already have the daughter and everything. Yes,
they already have Danny.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a little confusing about when this is taking place.
And maybe intentionally.
Maybe intentionally. Yeah. We don't know. We don't know. Yeah. We don't know which Jessica Jones this is, when this is, but
she passes out on the street and Daredevil is like, well, he's been watching her.
Right.
And they like picks her up and then says weird comments that only Daredevil could say to you, which is scary. You know, like you've stopped drinking coffee.
Yeah. Right.
She's like, you can sense that. And he's like, yeah, but also you were staring at a fucking coffee shop. Like, you know, like you're starving.
Yeah. He also like comments on her clothes and it's like, she makes a really funny comment about him being, you know, like him being blind and like, how can he tell about what clothes she's wearing or her scary wardrobe?
That was the one thing in the whole issue where I was like, what? Yeah, Simone? Why? What guy, especially Daredevil, but why would a guy think a lady in a leather jacket and blue jeans is scary? I was like, this is all. I feel like someone said that to Gail in like 1987. And she just put it in a book because it's like, what? Who's scared of, I don't know. I was like, truly like, what is
maybe I was thinking because of Court, like maybe she shows up like that in Court.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which I guess
and
is,
he's like, don't wear that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that does make a lot more sense. Yeah. I mean, he is talking about the Court, but he's like, wear something less scary. And I was like, what?
I know.
And then she says later, she's like, I guess it's all scary. And she's just wearing like a blouse.
I know.
I was like, I don't get that one little thing. I was like, I don't get this. I don't get what that means. But
yeah, I know.
That's a very minor thing.
But it's not like she's a goth.
No. Like not. It's not even like she's drawn like Kristen Ritter, who is. She's kind of scary.
I mean, yeah, her attitude is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not scared of her, but like she looks like she would say something to you.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's where she's getting it from. But yeah, she's like, even in the next page, she's literally wearing a white shirt and a leather jacket and jeans and a motorcycle.
That's, I feel like that's a normal New York lady outfit, but...
Yeah, yeah, I agree completely. Like, especially if it's like getting towards winter or like fall.
Yeah.
She's just trying to stay warm.
Whatever, Daredevil.
All right. Daredevil's just an asshole.
Yeah, maybe.
He's like, all girls should wear pink and have their hair tied up properly.
I can't see, but I would prefer you in pink.
Yeah, right. And a dress.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very traditional.
He's been watching too many Mormon shows, quote unquote.
Yeah. But then, she like comes home. Luke's there. Mm-hmm. The mountain I climb.
Yeah. Sexy.
Yeah. Yeah. No. She's definitely, Gail's putting some, there's some sexiness in here. Right?
Yeah. Some innuendos.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, she straight up said, like, I wouldn't come here unless I was horny, and that was all the time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's like on the second page or something. Yeah. I was like, oh, I forgot Marvel can do stuff like that.
Oh yeah. And yeah, it's not even it's not a Marvel Knights line anymore, but they have like the darker line, right? Like the Punisher stuff. And now it's just the regular comics now. We just get to read about sexy stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks, Marvel.
We always had the violence, but
they did.
But yeah, then she goes to like the coffee shop. And she's talking to her guy, and a classic goon style hammerhead comes in, and he looks like he's from 1937.
Yeah. You know, like
his guys look modern, but he looks like straight out of another time.
He's wearing a zoot suit almost. Very close. Yeah. This is a little bit longer. Definitely be zoot suit.
Yeah. And then he's like sort of harassing the guy, you know, very standard, like, gangster movie stuff, like, where's your protection money,
right,
blah blah blah. And then Jessica intervenes, you know,
breaks his leg.
Yeah
She breaks it in half.
Yeah,
pretty fun. Yeah,
she cracked my leg open, kill her.
Yeah, this is like a different hammerhead though. He doesn't actually have the hammerhead.
No. Yeah,
so again, I'm curious to see when this is or what world. Or is this the 616 world? Are we in a different world? I feel like there's like little hints like here and
yeah.
there.
It also, like, I'm thinking of, I mean, I'm always thinking of with these series of how Marvel is, because one must remember Kevin Feige is the chief creative officer of Marvel Comics,
right,
and the films, right?
Yeah,
where it's like they do test things for the movies in the comics. And it does seem like the movies are debating, or I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, obviously, but it's like, will they be merging universes? Right? Are we going to, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not clear if we're going to be getting any of the X-Men yet, or if we'll get some of them because there'll be a universal merging, or what's going on, right?
Right. I mean, well, we do have Patrick Stewart now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we have that. So I feel like in the Marvels, we're going to get somebody for sure.
Probably.
Yeah. It's going to be Rogue.
I mean, let's hope. I really do. I hope for that.
Yeah.
But so she takes him out and they go to court, and she's supposed to be like a character witness for this girl who I guess killed her family, but she was being possessed by the Purple Man.
Right. By Kilgrave. But Kilgrave is in a coma, and which Jessica Jones put him in.
Okay.
And so we don't know, like, he's not supposed to be able to possess anybody anymore. And it's been 10 years as well that he's been like that.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. And
was that in the Jessica Jones comics?
Yeah, that was in the comics. It's also in the show too.
Like the Bendis stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then these are the only two people that we know of, or that they know of, that have been possessed by this guy.
He's been possessed. He's possessed a ton of people.
They just want Jessica to.
Well, Jessica had the most, obviously. She's the one who did it, and he possessed her for a very long time, and you know, lots and lots of violence against her in general.
Okay. See, I don't know any of that story.
Yeah, yeah.
I was I know I had heard that though.
Yeah, and it was really heavy stuff too. I mean, deals with like sexual violence and stuff and in her comics. And yeah, that was like one of like the deepest Marvel comics, I think, like when Alias came out and that Bendis wrote and dealt with all the Purple Man or Kilgrave stuff. Like, and I remember reading that and being like, holy shit, like Marvel's just gone to like a whole new level.
Yeah,
it was an amazing comic. Yeah, if you haven't, if y'all haven't read Alias out there, I highly recommend it. It's a great comic.
And it was like a, it was like how Watchmen originally started with the Charlton characters. And then they were like, you're doing some crazy stuff. You need to come up with your own. And I don't know who said it, but I know that Alias was supposed to be Jessica Drew, right? It was, I've read that before. Definitely.
Oh, really?
It was supposed to be a Spider-Woman comic. She was supposed to be the detective. Like it was supposed to be the reinvention of Spider-Woman.
Yeah.
Without a suit.
Like, no. No, that makes sense. Yeah,
and then but it got so rich.
Yeah,
and she became her own thing, and maybe it has something to do with the, also the maturity of the stories. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to have you do that to Spider-Woman, but sure, you can make up your own character and do that.
Which is interesting because of what they did to like Captain Marvel. And so, yeah,
Jim Shooter, the editor in chief, wrote that issue.
Yeah. They're like, that's okay. That can be explained away, but
it's superpower rape, not normal rape.
Right.
Not that's Avengers 200, folks. Yeah.
Maybe you're all, if you're interested in that storyline.
Yeah.
Anywho. So yeah, this woman in the comic, she says she kills her family, or she didn't kill her family because Kilgrave has taken over her mind again. Jessica says that the judge is not going to believe any of this because most regular people don't want to believe in stuff like that. Like they're just.
Yeah. I liked that. I mean, that's also like touching on the real world, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We're not talking about superpowers. It's just like most people don't want to face truths, so they bury their head in the sand and really just go the opposite direction in a way.
Yeah,
become part of the problem.
Yep. And he doesn't. Basically, the judge doesn't believe it. she's right.
Yeah.
But Daredevil, you know, Matt Murdock is defending her, and asks Jessica to like have a conversation with her about all of this. And because they're both so close, and it turns out the woman was the first one of Kilgrave's first victims, and she tells her that he's laid a trap in her brain, and this is like the 10-year anniversary, and then Jessica's anniversary is also coming up, and she's warning her that the same thing is going to happen to her and that she needs to protect her family.
Yeah, stay away from your family.
Yeah, stay away from your family because the same thing is going to happen to you. And yeah, basically like this snap. Trap. It's like a psychic trap, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like we're with like a time code on her. So who knows how this guy's powers work?
Yeah. Yeah, Purple Man's a really interesting character. Purple Man's also the worst name for a character. That's why they changed it in Alias to Kilgrave.
Oh, it's really ominous.
His last name. Yeah. Kilgrave is much scarier.
But yeah, then she comes home again and there's someone in her daughter's bedroom. And then she starts punching her without even looking at her. And then punches her a bunch of times before she's like, oh, you're me.
Yeah.
Is this some scroll trick? What's going on?
Yeah.
Go down the list of what that could have been. Where's a Mystique reference in there? Come on.
Oh, I know.
What is it? Scrolls? You Mystique? What's going on? What's the deal?
Yeah, it could be any shapes. There's so many shapeshifters, right?
Yeah, come on. You really got to limit those. I do like how on The Boys, they like killed the shapeshifter where it's like, yeah. If you see a person, it's that person. You know, you can get way crazy with shapeshifters, but it's not a shapeshifter.
No, it's not a shapeshifter. It's just one of the variants, as we've talked about in the beginning. And then there's more than one too. There's another Jessica variant. She's Captain America.
Yeah. Also this, how strong is Jessica Jones? Cause this panel where she bounces the shield off both their skulls.
Oh yeah. She's super strong.
I was like,
That's her thing. Yeah.
Okay. I had to look her up and what her powers were. I was like, I thought she just had detective powers. I didn't even know she was super strong.
No. She's super, super strong.
Yeah.
I mean, her and Luke Cage, that's the whole thing with her and Luke Cage, is that one of the reasons they can like do it.
Yeah. Well, no women of tissue paper here.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Well, then their kid is going to be one serious bruiser.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
In the future. But yeah, that's the last page where we get the Jessica Jones very casual Captain America gear. She still has the leather jacket.
That's her thing. She loves to be casual.
but it's like, you know, she's got like khaki pants.
Yeah. Yeah, very she's not into the whole suit.
Yeah, it's a very different universe. And yeah, she isn't a suit wearing person, right? She wore one at one time.
Yeah, her jewel. Yeah, and she has it's so weird to like even see her like that. Yeah, and she has like a white, like glittery, almost looks like Dazzler's suit.
Probably ridiculous on purpose because he never intended her to be
in
a suit, right? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's the variants.
Yeah. And I have like this cute little variant of the variants, and it has like all of her little costumes on the cover too. Just fun.
They shouldn't have released an A cover for this comic. Yeah. Should only get a variant. That'd be awesome. Just start at B.
It's been fun. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
Yeah.
And we're back. Good break.
Yeah.
All right. Next on the docket, we have issue one of Public Domain by Chip Zdarsky from Image Comics.
Yeah, writing and art.
Yes. Good to have Chip back at Image. He's been doing all of his Marvel works recently with Daredevil and Spider-Man and Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And he's about to write Batman he is writing Batman, the Night, or I think that's what it's called. Or is that the
Batman book 82?
Yeah. Well, he is actually going to start his run on regular Batman.
Oh, wow. That's big time.
Yeah. It's crazy. He's actually writing for Marvel and DC right now, which usually they don't allow them to do.
Yeah, that is rare.
Yeah, but yeah, he was writing Daredevil and Batman, the main two.
Whoa. Like,
yeah.
And they are, I mean, in a vein together.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They are similar stories.
They fight people. More than laser shooters.
Yeah, and they both kind of hate themselves.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And they like the dark because Daredevil, it doesn't matter.
No.
To him.
Well, at least Daredevil's not rich. I guess that's the difference.
That's why Daredevil's better. That's just an opinion.
Yeah, but he has a lawyer.
They do also both have pointy things on their head. So
they do.
There you go.
Look at all these similarities. Who can just write the same story? And
that would be great if he just it's like, this is him going, I'm never working for either of you. Give the same script to both by the time they're both out. And then just like that's how you can burn the bridges, Chip, if you ever want to.
That'd be so funny.
That'd be classic.
And he kind of does a little bit in this comic, burn bridges.
Oh yeah, definitely.
in this comic he's basically telling the story of a little bit of Marvel, a little bit of DC, but mostly I want to say mostly Marvel because it's it's really about a Stan Lee Jack Kirby story.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously Siegel and Schuster. There's examples of this prior where DC's making millions in the 70s, but this is definitely very much touching on the modern way that they do it, which because most of the creators of these characters are dead.
Yeah.
But the stories that they're adapting from, and Marvel's all very, they don't directly adapt anything.
No.
And they won't because of this little loophole where it's like, if they directly did the events of Infinity Gauntlet, well, then Jim Starlin gets something.
Yeah.
If they take the idea, Jim Starlin isn't guaranteed anything, right?
Right. So, yeah, he gets this, what they do, what he actually does in the story, you get $5,000 and ticket to the premiere.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they get. It's what all the creators get.
Which is laughable.
It's so laughable. It's just insane.
$5,000.
There you go. Aren't you happy?
Just re-looking at this, though, I just noticed this. There's like little jokes everywhere. It's like the first panel, the sign that looks like it's just a city sign. It says, no running unless it's important to the plot. And then, do not hold doors open. And then like the second panel, and the sign is like it's the exact body language of the guy who's holding the doors open.
Right.
There's like little jokes everywhere, which I am just discovering live.
Oh yeah. It's a Chip thing. He's really good at that. I also I love this so much, and it's important to point out that the very first page of this comic is the inside cover, and the very last page of this comic is the back of the cover.
I'm looking at a digital version, so I don't know that.
Yeah, so there's no ads, there's no filler. It's a full comic, which I'm not going to say what comic this is because I don't want to blow anybody up, but I read a different comic earlier yesterday, and it was supposed to be like a double-sized issue, and there was, I kid you not, 6 pages of just black pages.
Oh, like in between things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be like story, I guess, but it was just black pages. And I was like, this is not okay.
Yeah. I mean, he does one page for the credits, but that's it. I mean,
yeah, and you have to you have to credit your people, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, with all the indicia and stuff, but that's everything. But yeah, basically the story is about, well, the protagonist seems to be the son of the artist who created this character. Mm-hmm. Is the character Eminent Domain? Yeah, Eminent Domain is the name of the character, who's now a huge, you know, movie character. And so this is the son of the artist, but not the writer.
Right.
And the writer is the one who holds all the power, I guess, the rights to this. The writer is the one who's being taken all these parties and photographed and stuff. And this guy, their dad, who just drew everything, you know.
Right.
But so basically he's the child of a Jack Kirby.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Where Stan became a super duper superstar. Every person on the planet knows who Stan Lee is. And Jack did most of the work. And most people don't.
Yep. Most people don't know. I feel like more are kind of knowing who he is now, but still, like you say, Stan Lee, everyone knows who you're talking about. And then like, if I pulled like, you know, even just like 30 people out of my line, when I go to the brewery today, I could say, do you know who Stan Lee is? They would all know who he is. If I say Kirby, maybe 5 people, I would say.
Yeah. And then you name all the characters that he created and they know all of them. You're like, oh yeah, I eat out of cereal bowls.
Yeah.
And I had underwear when I was 2 years old, and my stuffed animal when I was a kid was Hulk. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And common. So our main protagonist, he's also a journalist too.
Yes.
Writes like puff entertainment pieces for his newspaper.
Yeah, of course he wants to be a real journalist, but I love the basement studio, his dad's basement studio. It's very real and very just amazing.
It has like a really cute like interaction with them, and he talks about how there's like he has the Domain comic book right down there, and he has like some guy's collector, you know, issue of Domain that he has to sign and send back to them, and he's like, oh, don't mess that up, they're really particular.
Or he's like, you didn't sign it, and the guy's like, oh yeah, he doesn't want names on it, it devalues it or something,
right? So, like, he doesn't, the guy's name on it will devalue the issue.
Yeah, but this guy's also like, I mean, that's a joke in and of itself, but this guy's also clearly like a flipper, right?
Yeah,
there's a lot of bile in this comic, like a lot of rage, simmering rage. It's not Rob Liefeld explosive rage. It's like quiet, like I'm going to snap my pen in my hand rage.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got mad.
Oh, yeah, I got mad. This is a comics comic.
Definitely. Like,
this is like for us, you know.
Yeah, it's inside baseball.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. Uh-huh. Like a random I would honestly be pretty curious if someone who knows nothing of all this stuff, what they would even, I mean, they're going to be introduced to the idea, but like, what would they think of this? They're like, oh, okay. A story, yeah. And it's like, no, this is the story of
it comics. Is yeah you didn't know any history behind this, like maybe you probably wouldn't understand it, or I don't know, maybe you would want to know more about it. I'm not really sure. I'm very curious to find out what people are thinking. But it's told so well in the Chip style, you know, like that's why Sex Criminals did so well, because he's such a good storyteller.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what it's really about, is the storytelling here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. So our main guy, he has to do, he's like ordered by his editor to do a story covering the actor who plays the domain.
Yeah.
Who's just some, you know, he's an actor, right?
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of the guy who plays Homelander. You know,
yeah.
The boys, you know, looks like that guy. I'm just an asshole, you know, as an actor.
Not that Anthony Starr, I don't think, is an asshole. But
oh, he's
Homelander,
an asshole.
Is he the actor?
Oh, yeah. He got in trouble recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Before. Yeah. They kind of swept it under the rug. But yeah, he got in trouble. But right before season 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's something like that. I mean, also like he's not in attitude, but like a Chris Pratt or a Chris Pine or a Chris Evans or whatever, right?
Let's not compare Chris Pratt to the other Chris's. Okay.
Well, but he is supposed to be that type.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, he interviews this guy, and the guy has just like, he's asking him about the comics, right? And this guy's like, oh yeah, huge fan of Jerry Jasper, and he like, he reinvented the modern mythology. Stop saying modern mythology.
Yeah.
I like that, because that is just bandied about all the time.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, he like, the actor is getting like, you know, aggressive about it, because he's getting aggressive about it. He is pressing this guy in a way that is unprofessional, but because he has
rage.
You know, for his father.
Yeah.
Who, his dad seems like, oh, this is awesome.
Right.
Like, his dad seems like he has no animosity, even though he's been completely fucked over by this company.
Yeah.
But yeah, he hits the guy.
Yeah, he does. He hits him.
Because he says, what? You know who agrees with me? The entire world. So yeah, I'm sorry I don't know some loser who doodled guys in tights back in the 40s.
Yeah. Pretty shitty thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Punch in the face.
And also, just to step back, we also get introduced to a character who works for like our Stan Lee type guy. And she's like his assistant, who also wants to be a comic writer. And, you know, she's just taking this job probably to get a step up, right? Like a lot of assistants do. She thinks by working for him, you know, she'll get a leg into the comic book world.
I read it even as like, she might have had aspirations of like oh my God, I'm going to be with, right? Like the equivalent of like, I'm going to be with Stan Lee. Yeah. I'm going to learn so much about writing comics. And it's like, imagine if you were around Stan Lee. You're not going to hear shit about writing comics.
No.
You're going to be like, take me to this meeting and now I need a nap.
Yeah, which is exactly what's happening. She's just making like frosty rum drinks for this asshole. And who's just like lying by the poolside all day. So it's just complete bullshit, but she's also finding out a lot of crappy information too. Yeah.
Is this guy supposed to be a Stan Lee without the wig?
Absolutely.
Because Stan's
supposed to be Stan Lee.
Was bald, but I mean, like, I didn't think about it in terms of like the look, and he's got the mustache, he's just bald like how Stan actually was.
Yeah this is supposed to be Stan Lee 100%. Like, not a doubt in my mind. I mean, I'm sure he's gonna go off on his own little tangents, but I think it's supposed to be Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Because all the other guys, I mean, like Siegel and Schuster wrote together, and they were nice guys, you know.
Yeah, there
like,
was
maybe it's a little bit of Bob Kane too. I don't know, probably thrown in there.
Yeah. You know, he's the other big one, right?
Right, that definitely didn't do his own work. So
no, Bill Finger, creator of Batman.
Right, exactly.
And yeah, they get into how much of a jerk this guy is. This is so Stan, like when they put the kids in the comic, the two boys. So his brother bails him out of jail after he punched that actor.
Yeah.
So these are the two sons of the artist, and they show like how his dad drew them into a comic, but he wouldn't even let him use the names, the writer.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like petty fucking writers.
Oh yeah. Yep. Sounds like him.
And yeah, they have the runway or the red carpet thing, and people want to get like photos with him, and he's like, no, you don't want a photo with me, you know, who am I?
Yeah, with the father. Yeah. And she even asked like, oh, maybe we should get them like have a photo together with the father and the Stan Lee guy, and he's like, absolutely not. Like, no photos with me and him. Like, he's just washed up, you know, or whatever.
We want him taking photos with the young, not another old man. Mm-hmm. And then I do think like, oh yeah, I have seen Stan next to all the actors, and I never saw him standing next to Neil Adams or Gene Colan.
Nope.
Or Jim Starlin, right? It's not like they got photos with them together. They didn't do that because
no, not after like what, the 80s probably.
yeah which is, it's weird, right? And then it brings up the whole like marketing thing, and it's like, okay, the one old man creator is sexy, that's sexy, like he created all this, but then there's two of them, it gets weird, people don't want to hear it, marketing doesn't like it, blah blah. Like, it's that whole world where it's like, it's, I mean, it's disgusting.
Right. definitely not after the movie started coming out, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm getting heated, Chip. I'm getting heated.
Yes. So this is, I mean, I really loved this book. Like, it was the way he just tells this story is, it's heartfelt, it's sad, it makes you angry, but it's funny because it's Chip, right? Like, the way he tells stuff in his language is just hilarious, and his little jokes and his quips.
I mean, it's satire, right? It's harsh satire. If you know the truth, that might be what it is. Whereas like someone who reads this will be like, oh, that's satire, if they didn't know.
Right.
But we who know is like, oh God, this is brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, like even when they're watching the movie, it's so shitty. Like, he's even making fun of like the language in the movies,
in the Marvel
movies,
terrible
it is. Yeah, but they're like, they say like, the numbers are amazing for the movie, like it's so great, and everyone else is like, the critics are like, it's trash.
Yeah. Dark Mask is still in the hella base, Sandy. I can't stay and kiss you. Yeah. Even though I want to.
I know.
Oh, don't I know, domain.
And
even
then, like,
though I want to.
People are sleep, or the main guy's sleeping, and like everyone else is like, oh, it's so, like the father's eating popcorn and smiling. Like,
he genuinely enjoys this, right?
Yeah, like, he genuinely enjoys it. He's like, these are my characters. It's so nice.
Which, I mean, if you're getting paid, is the attitude.
Yeah, like, right.
Jesus, like, if you're Jim Starlin, it's like, Jesus Christ, fucking Thanos,
right?
He's real. Little kids know who he is. It'd be incredible. I just,
it'd
like
be so great. Yeah. But you're only like getting paid $5,000. Wow, they're making billions of dollars.
Billions
of dollars.
But yeah, I don't know if we need to tell the whole story, but
no, we can leave it for the end.
It is very good. And do we know how long this is, or is this an ongoing?
No, this is definitely a mini series. I don't know how many issues it is. I want to say 6, but it could be 12.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it does end, I will say, on a positive twist.
It does. Yeah.
A twist where you're like, oh yeah, let's see what happens.
Yes.
in a good way, which that's pretty rare to have a twist where I'm like, I'm excited to see the positives of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, really, and cool.
Real quick, Anthony Starr was arrested on March 2nd, 2022 in Spain when he assaulted a chef while drunk. He punched him twice.
Oh no.
With causing him to be taken to a hospital where he received 4 stitches.
Whoa. Homelander. Yeah.
Homelander. I think he's taking his role a little too far there.
Yeah, just like Ezra Miller, you know.
Ooh, Ezra Miller.
That was also a joke because that doesn't, how would him doing any of that? The Flash doesn't do that stuff. Sorry, guy. No excuse there. No method acting excuse there.
No. Yeah, Ezra Miller has, they have been a problem ever since that Kevin movie. We need to talk about Ezra Miller.
Yeah, that's the remake that is currently being
in life, the remake of life. Yeah, so Ezra Miller now is on a farm in, I want to say, upstate New York. And is like holding like a woman and their children, reportedly by their husband, by the woman's husband, hostage there.
Yeah, it doesn't.
That's all alleged by the husband.
He said there's too many guns and drugs on the farm.
Yeah.
I was like, is this a real article? This sounds like a joke. This is crazy.
It's insane. So Flashpoint has now been delayed again.
Because of that.
Yeah, we had to throw away. So we got all these DC Connects at the store, and I actually got a call from like DC.
Wow.
Saying, please put those in the trash.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And the woman sounded very alarmed too, that called. She was just like, please throw those all away. We cannot put those out because Flashpoint has now been delayed again. Just please throw them all away.
And I was done at the, excuse me, at this point, it's probably done. It's because of this. They're waiting for stuff to blow over. And then they want to release this movie, make the most amount of money they can, and then never work with Ezra Miller again.
Yeah. This there's no way they're gonna replace them. Like, I mean, Wally West can. I mean, it's Flashpoint, right? So you can have whatever Flash you want.
Yeah.
I bet they're doing reshoots right now to get a new Flash in there. They're just like a
baton pass.
Yeah, for sure. Just get a new Flash in there as quick as possible. I mean, it can even be a different Barry Allen. Who knows? I mean, they were a terrible Barry Allen to begin with, in my opinion. So
everybody likes Wally West anyway.
Yeah. Clean Wally those awesome. Hands. Wash them away.
Sorry for the tangent.
Oh, no, that's fine. We're about to do news anyways. And that was in the news.
I guess it was.
So quick corrections corner from last week. I couldn't remember who the writer of the other Poison Ivy series was, and I felt super bad about it. So Amy Chu was the writer of the other Poison Ivy series. So just clear that up real quick. So most of the articles that we're going to go over right now, new sources from Nerdist.com and CBR.com. Thanks for your articles, all y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know your writers have to write like 12 articles a week. So thank you.
I know. Whenever I go on CBR, they're always like, do you want to write an article for us? And I'm like, what? It's like a little pop-up. I'm like, no, I'm on here all the time, I guess. No, I don't. So reportedly Ghostbusters 5 is going to be coming out. They gave us a little tease from Sony. Sony just like dropped all of these bombs this week. They're just like Ghostbusters 5. What was the other one?
Is that a direct sequel to the
to the Afterlife
with the kids?
Cool. Mm-hmm. And it says it's coming out December 20th, 2023. Though I don't trust any of these dates.
No. Everything's
only
in
next
flux.
Year.
And who else is gonna drop a Christmas movie and then they're gonna go, let's not share this with an Avatar or something.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So there's that one. And then also from Sony, Madam Web.
A movie.
Yeah, we heard about this actually like over a year ago because everyone came in and were like, do you have the first appearance of Madam Web? And I was like, whoa, what? And it shot crazy. Up. Like, it was like a $20 book and now it's like a $500 book.
Whoa.
I know.
That's wild, though. I mean, the way they're building their whole universe is the most nuts of all of them. Like, DC's like trying something, but they keep failing. But like, Sony's like, yeah. You want a Kraven movie? No, but here it is.
And it has this actor who you've never really heard of and doesn't look anything like Kraven. Do you want that?
It's Kick-Ass.
Is it Kick-Ass?
Yeah, it's Aaron. It's Quicksilver.
Aaron,
we do
Rockovich.
Know him. We do know him.
Oh, okay. Has he been in? Wait, Kick-Ass is Quicksilver?
Yeah, the Marvel Quicksilver, the MCU Quicksilver, who died in Age of Ultron.
That's the same actor?
Yeah, it's same. He's a kid, and then he becomes a adult man.
He didn't. That's the way it works usually.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's a kid in Kick-Ass. He's smaller.
Wow, he doesn't like look that anything dude's like that guy.
That dude's just big, right?
Yeah.
But he's not that big in Kick-Ass, so he seems very different.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, same actor.
I mean, I think just after Morbius, they would just cut their losses and be like, we're not good at this anymore. We need Marvel's help.
I don't know. They're building something. It's very odd. It's very strange. And I mean, Morbius probably still made money, so.
It did not.
Oh, it did not. No. But Venom 2 did.
It did. So yes, that's where I'm going. Venom 3 also on the docket. Yeah, Venom makes money.
We gotta get Spidey in that, right?
Yeah, we have to. It's because, well, now Venom is in the Marvel Universe.
Exactly. And so. Peter was in Tom Holland. Peter was in the teaser of Venom 2.
Right. So Madam Web, we have Sydney Sweeney and Dakota Johnson. And now we have Emma Roberts.
As Madam Web?
It's unclear. Oh. They're not telling us what the roles are yet. But I don't know. Emma Roberts has blonde hair and likes to wear red lipstick. So they're like, maybe she's playing. But Madam Web is old. But yeah. Maybe, it doesn't matter. They could, redo.
Oh, they're going to Aunt May her. They're going to Aunt May her. For sure.
Aunt Mayor, yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, look, I'm all for having a movie centered around a 70-year-old villainess, but I guarantee Sony will not do that.
Probably not. I mean, they could also do, Emma Roberts is perfect probably for playing like Gwen Stacy too. Sure. Or she could be like Ghost Spider or something, Gwen Stacy, and because it's a different universe.
She's gotta fight somebody.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Madam Web is a bad guy, so
yeah,
a villainous.
Some spider stuff.
I don't know.
They're very strange. How do you make a villain movie without the protagonists that they've always encountered? It's like, imagine those comics where it's like Peter leaves Madam Web's dimension and then you just stay there.
Yeah. It'll be like Betty Brant. Fights Madam Web.
Yeah, I hope so. All the best for Betty.
She's just throwing typewriters at her. She just, what is that, like a 5-minute long movie? Madam Web's like, what is this?
No, but see, she tells J. Jonah that's the competitor, and then he's a formidable opponent, of course.
What?
J. Jonah Jameson.
Against Madam Web?
I'm just kidding. She's a menace. She's a menace.
Oh, it'll be like J. Jonah in that like robot outfit. It's like the face.
Yeah. And his son. That's what it'll be. Son. It'll be Manwolf and J. Jonah and Betty Brant and Robbie. And they're just going at it.
There you go. Then they're all wearing that robot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, costume. The Spider Slayer robot.
Perfect. We wrote the movie for them. Now they don't even have to. They don't even have to do it.
Yeah, please.
Oh, no.
What else is going on?
All right. So then we also have the Paper Girls trailer.
Yeah. Watch that. Cool.
So yeah, Amazon is just like blowing up all over the board. So this is only a month away, which I thought was crazy.
Whoa.
I was like, what? How is this possible? So it's not even a full trailer. You watched it. It's like a teaser trailer, which is weird that the full trailer hasn't even dropped yet and it's coming out in a month.
Maybe they're trying something new. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's kind of nice, actually, because I just watched like the Nope full trailer. I was forced to. I didn't actually want to watch any more trailers, but I went to the movies last week to see The Black Phone, which I recommend. They made us watch the full trailer. I had to like close my eyes partway through because it was like the full movie.
I do that quite often.
Yeah.
If I already know that I'm going to see a movie, most of the time I will. Like, even when I click it online, I'll like look away and glance at it. I'll be like, I got like a third of what you're showing me, so I'm cool with that.
Well, I think like 2 minutes is like a good trailer, right? Like a 2 minute trailer, maybe like 2:25. Sure. 3 minutes or longer? Like that shit, that's like too much.
Well, no. And especially if they're, it's really fast editing. So it's showing you, and you're like, that's a scene. That's a whole scene. That's a whole scene. And to me, that does ruin things in a way, like, because it makes me think of a trailer. It makes me think of stuff.
Especially if it's like a horror movie or like a thriller or something.
Yeah, I don't want to see nothing.
No. Like there's that movie Smile that's coming out. And it's, man, there is a very effective teaser for that. And then I saw the full trailer, still good. But man, if I just watched that teaser, it would have been perfect. I don't need to see anything else. Like that makes me want to see it. Like, good job, marketing department, on that movie.
Maybe the best thing Marvel ever did is put deception in their trailers.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Like the Hulk running in Wakanda, right?
Yeah.
in Infinity War. And it's like, Hulk's not even in that movie after the first 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, that's awesome. Yeah. That's super awesome. More of that. More fakeness.
More fakeness. All right. So in the Paper Girls teaser, we just see our four main protagonists, the KJ, Mac, Tiff, and Aaron. And we actually finally see like the sky turning purple, which is like that pretty much the opening scene of the comic, which got me very excited because I was like, oh, wait, it actually looks like the comic.
Yeah. And it's really it's very specific. It's just like, we're in 2019. We need to get back to 1988. Like that's what the trailer positions as, like, this is the dilemma. So that's the core of what this is. I know that there's more going on in the comic, but
yeah,
that's the setup.
That's where it like differs a little bit. Like in the comic, it's 2016. So like, I'm not sure why they updated it to 2019. Like it's not really a
2016. So long ago. Nobody.
It's so long ago. It has to be 2019. I was like, it's not even like pandemic like related. I don't know.
And
it's not like
still,
such a big deal.
It's still Trump. So it's like,
yeah, but the point is that it like looks like Paper Girls, that like big pink. Yes. Purplish sky. We didn't get to see any dinosaurs, but I really hope that they're there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We would, one would hope.
Right. And they call it Hell Day. And it's like the morning after Halloween. That's what happens in the comic. But like I think the biggest reveal is we get to see Aaron, like young Aaron, meet old Aaron, who's played by Ali Wong.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. Not that I'm the biggest Ali Wong fan of her comedy, but I think she'll be really good in this role.
Yeah. 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 I think so.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's a good setup.
Yeah, definitely. And we see like some blood on her shirt, on the younger one's shirt, which is like, I'm not going to spoil anything, but like is a big event in the comic. So I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen there, but who knows what they're going to actually change.
Yeah.
But yeah, Amazon's had some pretty big successes, you know, with The Boys and with Invincible.
Huge. And
yeah. So adapting comics has gone pretty well for them so far.
Yeah.
And now,
adaptations in general.
Yeah. Adaptations in general.
as a segue to the next thing.
well, real quick, I also want to just add in 8 Billion Genies also just got adapted, or is getting adapted, but got bought by Amazon. Options. Yes. Thank you. Yesterday, like literally at like 5 PM or something. And already people were like flying to the store to pick up our copies. And I read the first two issues. It's a really, really solid comic, but it's another super wacky, insane one that I have no idea how they're going to do. But yeah,
I do respect that they will go for the craziness.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, because The Boys might be the most boundary pushing show I'm watching. When you see some of the stuff, it's just like, oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Right.
Cool.
Like the first episode of the third season. Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, exactly. you want to watch a burned Nazi corpse give a hand job to a guy dressed like Superman, Captain America?
Yeah.
Talking about her master race.
Yeah.
Like that was some of the craziest shit I've ever seen.
Or just like the very first scene with the penis and the guy exploding.
Yeah. What? It's pretty nuts. But what it's proving is out there works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's what I want. I'm tired of these like tame adapt. It's like, no, Star Wars, go ballistic. You have a TV show. Go ballistic.
Yeah.
Don't like play it close to the vest.
Yeah. And so. Amazon also just spending the most amount of money ever, yes. Which is Lord of the Rings, the four rings, the Lord of the
Rings of power,
rings of power, the four rings. There's a lot more four than four,
yeah.
Which I was going to say is the four major plot points have been revealed. And yeah, this looks absolutely insane. I mean, it's just a teaser trailer again, but Amazon's been like very, very tight-lipped about what the series was going to be about.
Yeah.
And finally, they have come clean about it. And yeah. We're being told that they're going to do like 4 or 5 stories all about the Second Age.
Yeah, before everything.
Yes, before everything. And like when the Rings of Power were made, like who was responsible. We're going to get stories about young Elrond and the rise of Sauron and Galadriel's search for him. And also about the rise and fall of the island kingdom of Numenor. And let's see, the last alliance of the elves and men.
Cool.
So I'm very excited about this. I know a lot.
Super ambitious.
Yes, very ambitious. Very ambitious. And I know a lot of people are very weary of where Amazon is going to take it. But I mean, that trailer looks beautiful.
Can't be worse than the Hobbit adaptation. So
no,
whatever.
Like, well, this is all fresh, you know, I mean, they've taken it obviously from Tolkien's writings, but there's not really like a set story, you know?
No. And you're not going to upset millions of Similarian fans or something. It's
right?
Like, there's some, but you know, even I never got through it. I've read the series multiple times, but
yeah, I read through the Similarian, but yeah, it's like I said, it's not like a set story. So yeah, I think they have a lot of wiggle room, you know?
Yeah.
But it looks really amazing. That's all I can say. I mean, just from the photos and then also just from that trailer, I'm excited.
Highest budgeted television show of all time.
Yeah. They have the money, so
I think they do.
And yeah, there's a lot of pictures too, and you can see like all the rings of power, the swords, the characters. Like one really interesting character that they're going for that like doesn't really have a lot of background is Celebrimbor, and he is the forger of the rings. Who kind of gets like tricked into making the ring for Sauron.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'd be very fun.
Yes. All right. And lastly, of course, there's all these delays. It's just like we talked about Flashpoint being delayed and 9,000 other things being delayed. Dune 2 is delayed. So we're not going back to Arrakis anytime soon. It'll be coming out now, November 17th, 2023. So right on the heels of all the other things we were talking about, just like everything is coming out in 2023.
Yeah.
But I thought this was really interesting. Christopher Walken has been announced as a casting.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's cool.
Because I mean, people forget, but he's a real actor. Like,
yeah.
And he was a real actor. He seemed to lean into the like his sort of things. It became like a sort of comedic to people, and then he seemed to lean into that. But it's right. Like I would love to see him. Like I watched Dead Zone not that long ago, and it's like it's refreshing. He's just a guy,
right?
And he never plays guys anymore. And obviously he's not going to be just a guy in Dune, but like to see him play a role, and I'm sure Villeneuve's not going to be like, yeah, give us the Walkenism.
Yeah,
you're on Arrakis. Like, no,
exactly.
You know? He's going to make him like. If anything, I'm the most interested because Villeneuve's so dry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to see Walken fit into that will be very interesting. I think.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen him in anything in a very long time.
Very long time, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm definitely interested in seeing what he brings to that. Also, Florence Pugh and Austin Butler. Austin Butler is who's playing Elvis right now. Yeah. Who I I'm seeing that tomorrow, actually. And I heard he's absolutely amazing in that. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing both of them. And also cast was Lea Seydoux. She'll be playing Lady Margot Fenring. And yeah, so a bunch of people just cast. So yeah, obviously they're just casting people still. that's gonna cause some delays.
Kyle MacLachlan, get him in there.
Oh yeah, that'd be so good. I think he's actually was just cast in a series, so I think he's busy. Farscape. That would be funny if they're rebooting Farscape.
With Kyle MacLachlan, hell yeah, hell yeah.
A new Farscape show. yeah. So that's our Dune news. Sorry, we're gonna have to wait to go back to the desert.
But you know, go get your spice while you wait.
Right. yeah. So that's the news corner today, guys. Hope you've enjoyed all of our updates.
I know we've mentioned it on the show before, maybe when you went to the premiere, but I'm going this Sunday on the 3rd to see Mad God in the theater. Mm-hmm. Phil Tippett's Mad God, friend of the shop. But it's, I don't know if you'll be able to catch it in the theater if you're listening to this, but it is doing a limited run, one day only shows, but it is available online. And if you can't catch it in the theater, go buy it from Phil's website.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's also on Shudder right now.
Okay. Yeah. So if you have that, do that. If not, get a digital copy from Phil. But I mean, like has this even ever happened? A stop motion event of this scale? I don't think stop motion has ever had this, you know, this is a master working for 30 years on a single project.
Yeah, no, I mean, not since like Ray Harryhausen, it was his birthday yesterday. So happy birthday. I know he's passed away, but
happy birthday, Ray.
Happy birthday, Ray. And yeah, obviously he's the biggest inspiration for
sure. But even his movies had people in it, right? This is all Phil.
I mean, besides Nightmare Before Christmas, I guess. And
sure.
Yeah. That would be the only other ones I could think of. Yeah. And
but that's a team of people, not one madman.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah. And Tim Burton. So like 9, James and the Giant Peach.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Those ones. But yeah, other than those, this is fully adult too. Don't take your children to go see this.
Yeah. I mean, there's been stop motion live action films. I'm not saying that. I just mean this sort of like personal project.
For 30 years. Yeah. Because this was a passion project. Like he couldn't get like funding for something like this.
No. The man was hospitalized for this movie. Okay, you gotta go see it.
Yeah, definitely go see
listen
it.
To the WTF with Marc Maron with Phil as well.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
Congratulations.
When I found out
Phil
was on WTF, I almost like fell out of my chair. I was like, what?
Yeah.
This is so amazing.
Super amazing. And congratulations, Phil. I cannot wait to see it.
But yeah, it's awesome. I got to go to the premiere.
You hear this, people? Do you hear this? You hear this mocking?
I know. Brag, brag, brag. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening, everyone.
Yeah, I'll do some plugs.
Yes, plugs.
My name is, as you know, Robert Negoesco. You can follow me on Instagram at @robert_negoesco. And that's where I post updates on all the stuff I'm working on, comics and stuff. I just finished all the art for Altered Comics issue 2. So that will be coming out soon in digital format. And then a little bit after that, print formats that'll be available. So come shoot me a message or something and follow so you know when where and when to find all that stuff. You can also search my name on YouTube. That's I post other podcast stuff, all sorts of videos, and the likes of that fun entertainment stuff. If you like this, check that out. And
And make sure you obviously come to the store. We do this podcast also for the store, Escapist Comics in Berkeley, 3090 Claremont Avenue. and follow the store at Escapist Comics on all of the things, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And you can follow me at Jessa Balboni, J-E-S-S-A-B-A-L-B-O-N-I on Twitter, even though I don't really go on Twitter that much, but you can follow me there. Instagram also, and TikTok if you so please.
Yeah.
And as always,
escape into comics.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
You've been a great audience.
Woo!